There it goes. Hey, everyone. Welcome. It is We Watch Stuff. First show of 2019. It's number We 165? Cool. I'm Jeremy. Starting off the show with Shahid, like always. I don't know what just happened, dude. So, hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just finished eating lunch, enjoying the new year, and enjoying being free from Twitter. So it's day two of that.
All right, so I'm glad you brought that up, because Kevin mentioned something that you did Stunt Granny Audio this week, and you mentioned that, and I went, when did that happen? Because I don't get on Twitter very often. When I do, it's always nice to see other people's opinions of other people's posts. Why are you off Twitter? I haven't listened to the show yet.
So. Yeah, I was just tired. It wasn't like a big thing that happened. It was just a whole bunch of small things that built up. And I was like, one day, like, why am I on this? Because every time I get on it, I'm reading opinions and stuff and just nonsense of, like, things I like just trashed on. And it's just like, what's the point? Like, I don't need to know everything that's happening right now. Like, if it's important, I'll find out eventually. Like, if I find out 5 or 10 minutes later, so what? You know, like, most of my friends I can talk to without Twitter anyway. And I'm like, am I really missing something? Like, between movie takes, sports takes, politics takes, life takes, like, all of just so either people trying to one-up each other is just, like, trash. And I'm like, all the stuff I like, and it comes, like, a lot of things, like, when we watch stuff, it's like, I notice most of the stuff that I enjoy, it's just dominated by, like, critics that just, like, hate the product. Mm-hmm. And they just miserable people. I'm like, no, I just need to separate myself from that. So, yeah, I'm like, you know what? First, I was like, I'll just sign out. But now I'm like, you know what? As soon as I sign out, within 5 minutes, I'll just sign right back in. So let me just deactivate it. So that way, I have to put extra effort to turn it back on. Like, the first day I did it, I catch myself clicking the app by, like, accident. And they're like, oh, welcome back. You want to sign in? I'm like, nope. And then, like, like the first day, like, I did it like 10 or 12 times. Today, I only did it like 3 times.
I forget that I even have it most of the time, because everything's just set up automatically through Instagram. That's the only Instagram and the site are the two main reasons for this thing, or I wouldn't have it. So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. So, but you're right. You can get anything you want outside of that anyways. And then, really, like, the reason I don't get on it much is basically for some of the reasons you stated. I don't care about other people's opinions of stuff. You know, and you don't get much news. It's always, like, I know you can, but even then, Twitter will show you, like, the news sites it thinks you want to see, which is still the algorithm part of this just drives me insane. If you click on the one wrong thing, which, all right, funny story. If you click on one wrong thing, you're screwed because the algorithm takes over, right? So we were watching School Ties. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Okay. I've never seen the movie before. I knew, like, they had a bunch of now big-name stars at a young age in it. I didn't know what it was about. I knew, like, Brendan Fraser was a star, and he went to school and people didn't like him. I was like, okay, cool. Well, then, you know, it turns out it's supposed to be anti-Semitism. I was like, oh, all right. And it's going on and on in this movie, and I know it was like, what, the 60s, 50s maybe, whatever it was. And I turned to Elise, and I was like, why do people hate Jews so much? And I'm being dead serious on this. I don't understand where, like, and I was like, and I go, besides the big one, I really don't know if, like, where is this all coming from? So she innocently picks up her phone and goes, why do people hate Jews? And I go, what are you doing? I was like, don't put that in your phone. Too late. She already hit it. And I'm like, because we've got this problem with her phone where I'll look up something on my laptop or somewhere, I'll look it up on my devices, and I've got a Lenovo laptop and a Samsung phone, where she's got an iPhone. So if I go to Amazon or something, it will show up in her feed as suggested items. So I was like, I don't know what the hell is going on here. But the last thing I want now is a bunch of goofy-ass sites appearing on Facebook. Like, hey, since you like this, maybe you'll like this. Like, oh, my God.
You already bald, and you already a power lifter, and now you search a thing. Congratulations, shit. You're part of Aryan Brotherhood.
I didn't even think of that. and I've already got strangers coming up and telling me stupid shit, too. So, anyways, but yeah, so cool. But we never got a clear answer. Like, it was, of course, when you go to Google, it will give you whatever descriptions. Like, don't click on any links. Just don't. And of course, there was they bring up the Holocaust, and they bring up, there was something else, I forget. And then it went into, I don't know what she did, but she found this one thing, and it was like, the Jews are the devil or the blah, blah, blah. I was like, what I'm looking for. But
yeah, that's definitely how it goes. Like, it can take one wrong click, and the next thing you know, you're on a watch list. So
why do people hate Jews? I don't understand. I'm lost on this.
Short version is two-thirds biblical, one-third conspiracy. It's like a lot of people still got that whole, you know, grudge against the whole quote-unquote Jesus thing and how that went down. But then most of the time it comes this whole, you know, they secretly run everything. Okay. That's what it basically comes down to. You know, they run Hollywood, they run the banks, they run this and that, and they believe they're the only good people on the planet, so, you know, you got to be secret. You know, the Holocaust was a fake. It's like people tend to think that, think that whole, the moon landing was fake, and my favorite flat earth one is not, it's not really flat, it's mostly flat, but there's it's like a barrier around it to prevent water from falling off. Yeah.
What?
So,
what are you talking about? No, it's not your fault. That's why people hate Jews, because they think there's the source wall at the end of the fucking planet. Morons. Yeah. Oh boy. You know, it's really nice having time off from work, because I worked out and crashed and watched a bunch of TV. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go back in the real world, and you're bored at your job, so you start clicking around and stuff, and you just realize, if I didn't have to come to work, I wouldn't know anything, and it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, actually, the one benefit I've gotten off of Twitter is, like, I've had more productive time to actually watch some shows and, like, read, because it's like, I'm not wasting my time, because, you know, you get on a tweet and you go in a rabbit hole, you like, and then you click something, then you click the back, like somebody tweets something real stupid, like, I wonder what he's about, even though, you know, like, you click in, like, the AVI will be him, but it's either him holding a fish, him holding a gun, a picture of a dog, a picture of a fish, an anime picture, or a picture of a wrestler, and it's like, you know, husband, dad, lover of Dallas Cowboys, lover of Second Amendment, God-fearing man, make America great.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Who are you talking about?
No, Twitter.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, yeah, I don't. And next thing, like, you know, you realize you wasted 20 minutes on nonsense. Like, I have it going on Twitter. I avoid message boards. Like, I read the article, and that's it. That's all I do. I read something sports, and that's, I don't care about opinion. I don't need, I just give me the news. I'll figure it out myself. And it's just so much more peaceful.
Yeah, well, it's actually, is it a good time or bad time to be off with your boys actually squeaking by wins?
Oh, don't get me started with that. Although I do have a funny story about that. Like, I was watching the game at work, and, you know, the game's close, and I'm like, you know, I figured they're going to lose. I figured Chicago is going to win after that completion. Like, okay, they're in field goal range. They're going to win. Even though it's like that kicker has been kind of shaky. So to see him hit the first post and then the bottom upright, I was at work, and I actually, like, dropped to my knees and stopped breathing. Because I'm like, what in the world is this? Like, you normally don't see stuff like that go your way. Like, yeah. I feel like if the Eagles would lose, they would lose a way like that. Not win because of that. And I'm watching that, and I'm just dumbfounded. Like, did I just see what I thought I saw? And then they show the Bears coach in Chicago, and they just, like somebody just dropped their baby. Like, they're just dumbfounded. And I don't blame them, because it's kind of like if it bounced an inch either way in, like, any direction, or the guy doesn't get a fingertip on it, the Bears win. And now, like, I hear this whole Nick Foles magic crap, and he's got the golden touch, and maybe it's something about. I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad I'm not on Twitter, because just I hear enough of it not being on Twitter, so I can only imagine how bad it is. Like, this, I was actually talking to friends about that. I was ambivalent during the playoff game. Like, I'm glad they won, but I was like, you know, if they lose, so okay, like, at least we can cut this Nick Foles crap out. Like, I wouldn't have felt that bad if they lost. And that's the first time in a long time I felt that way about an Eagles playoff game. Like, you know, if they win, cool, I guess. If they lose, I won't feel that bad. And now it's kind of like, I'm not rooting against them. I hope they don't beat the Saints. Because it's just going to be like maniacal, like, oh, he's the devil. Like, it's going to be that type of, because people get rational till weird stuff happens, and then they lose their mind and start believing in, like, ghosts and stuff and hocus pocus.
I just, like, you made me laugh when you said people believe in ghosts. Like, yeah, exactly. So I've been fighting that one for a long time. Hey, but I guess, yeah, it's a nice problem to have, though. At least it's not people bitching, you know, Nick Foles is screwing everything up. I don't know what's worse. I know what's worse. Like, people just constantly complaining about your team. Like, we're all fans of the team, but it's just nonstop bitching. Like,
yeah, that's the Sixers. So I get the Eagles, where it's like, you know, we're on this magic ride, and let's get rid of Carson Wentz because Nick Foles got the big dick magic. And then I turn the channel and watch the Sixers. It's like, this good championship team is like, oh, you need to trade Ben Simmons because he's dating a Kardashian and yada, yada, yada. It's like, I've never been around a fan base where the fans are so damn miserable and the team's good. Like, Sixers fans are just miserable this year. And that's the number I left Twitter. I'm like, yeah, every time I go on Twitter, I hear a bunch of white guys complain about the Sixers. Like, I'm like, are they watching the same team I'm watching? Like, y'all mad because, oh, they're not Golden State? Like, it could be a lot worse. Like, oh, it can be real. It can be a whole lot worse. Imagine being a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Orlando Magic fan or Wizards fan or, like, half the league, like, majority of the league fan, like, knowing that they aren't going to win, they haven't won, and they're not winning next year is no hope. And you just have to watch that. At least my team, like, has some hope. And it's like, you listen to fans, like, oh, they're not going to do this year. They might as well start over. It's ruined. And, yeah, stuff like that's why I got off of Twitter.
All right. Well, so there you go, everyone. Actually, some very good reasons not to be on it. So, well, you did say hope. With a little recap of the end of last year, Aquaman came out. And we both saw it. We both liked it. I've talked to people who have seen it and said it was a bad movie, but they liked it. And I went, that makes no sense. But, oh, no, that it was a terrible movie. You can have a bad movie and enjoy it. You can't have a terrible movie and enjoy it. I've actually heard the thing, like, that movie is actually 8 different bad movies wrapped into one. I go, yeah, but did you like it? Oh, yeah, I liked it. You can't like a movie for the wrong reasons. If you enjoyed it, it doesn't matter why you enjoyed it. Unless you're hate watching, I guess.
It's like people who, you know, they say they need to have fine dining to enjoy food, but they secretly, they love nachos.
Yeah.
But they're afraid of saying they like nachos.
Yeah. Well, anyways, there's apparently $940 million worth of people worldwide that think this is a bad, terrible, good, great movie. And this is DC's biggest hit. I think outside of what, Dark Knight?
Dark Knight Rises.
Which still boggles my mind. I guess because of
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight Rises, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Rises is the first, and then Dark Knight is actually a billion. So mm-hmm. Dark Knight Rises made more, which that surprises me because Dark Knight seemed like that was in theaters forever.
Yeah, but it's one of those it had to start, you know, like people didn't realize how big a movie it was. So it was that movie. And then people caught up with it. Dark Knight Rises was kind of like, it's the sequel to Dark Knight. So it got that. Yeah. Like sequels to good movies tend to always make more than the original, as long as if the movie's good, because it gets a boost.
Well, now if you're DC or Warner Brothers, I guess in this case, you've got to be going out of your mind right now. Yeah. That was not expected.
No, and it's funny, when it was first announced, it was like, oh, this is going to be a bomb. Or at worst, it might be middling. And now it's kind of like, this is going to probably be the biggest movie they've ever had. And no one would have guessed that, especially like the time it came out. It came out Christmas. It's funny, like, no one would have guessed it being this successful, especially because, like, it's a fun movie, but it's not like critically acclaimed or anything like that. So it doesn't have like that reputation, like this whole, you got to go see it. It's kind of like, oh, I had more fun than I thought. Movies that you tend to say, I had more fun than I thought, don't do this well. Like even Jumanji had like good reviews. That was kind of like, it had good reviews. Like I was surprised how much I enjoyed it, but nobody said it was like a bad movie. They were surprised that it was a good movie.
Yeah.
And that movie made almost $1 billion. This one is like, somebody would have told you Aquaman's going to be like DC Universe highest grossing movie. And you already had, and this is a universe with Superman and Batman. You're like, huh? Like, did they sell Superman and Batman? It's not like a Marvel thing where Iron Man had to be good because they didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
They have other things. So, yeah, we talking about the show. James Wan can write whatever check he wants.
Yeah. Well, yeah, before we get to him, here's one thing. I just pulled up stats. Okay. DC has long been criticized for making, like, for not having successful movies. Have you looked at how much money these movies have made?
Yeah, a lot. For being bad, for quote-unquote not successful movies, they tend to be, besides Justice League, all of them have made recently, like, very good money.
It's funny, Justice League has pulled in the least amount of money, and that was supposed to be their Avengers, so, boy,
yeah,
that's telling. But yeah, I mean, Aquaman's almost at $1 billion. This is worldwide, everyone, which is all that matters now. Domestically, it doesn't make, if you make 15 cents your first day here, doesn't matter because you could have made 15 million somewhere else. So I think we've talked about that before. That's a stigma. Has to go away. But Man of Steel is actually second to last. And then Batman, Superman, Suicide Squad, 746 million. Batman, Superman, 873. Wonder Woman, 821. Which surprised me. I thought that did a lot better. I know it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong.
It did a lot. It did very well domestically. It was like internationally as well, because it was like, it was this whole thing of playing catch up.
Yeah, and then Justice League 657. This one, 971 million. 702 coming from foreign gross. So apparently the foreigners know a lot more than we do. So
it's a reason action movies tend to translate better, because action is more universal.
And
As long as it's not like jingoistic. It's a reason why like Thor made more overseas than Captain America. You know, Captain America was a better movie because it's like Thor's Thor. Why would you care about Captain America if you lived in Brazil?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess I always wondered about that. How does that sort of stuff play? You know, because like over here we had Excalibur going to the Marvel stuff. And that was all, like, it was supposed to be the British, well, Captain Britain, right there, and then some other British heroes, and then, you know, mix in with, like, Kitty Pryde and some of the other people. But I always wondered, like, how that played over there. Like, X-Men, whatever, but, like, a Captain America, or going for DC, like, Sergeant Rock, like, any of that sort of stuff, did that play in other parts of the world? I know, like, I know G.I. Joe had a different name.
It's a reason why they didn't push the whole American hero thing in the first G.I. Joe movie, because it's kind of like you want to have G.I. Joe be a worldwide thing, even though G.I. Joe's it's always been American.
Yeah, always. I mean,
and it's funny how they pushed, and it's funny how much they pushed up it being an American thing in the sequel. Like that probably wasn't an accident either.
So, what you were talking about before, with DC, well, DC's got Shazam coming up, what, in May? No, March. Is it March? or April. Cool, I'm prepared. Anyways, Shazam's next. That's got a positive buzz. And then I think that's it next year.
That comes out in April. Right? Yeah, because they moved Wonder Woman to the summertime of 2020.
Okay, and I know Birds of Prey... Oh, Joker comes out this year. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't count? I'm still confused on that.
That's something. I don't know what it is. I don't know how that counts. Yeah, I don't know how that counts. But no, it's just funny where their two biggest movies are the ones that had the most skepticism. It's like Aquaman and Wonder Woman. And the reason why they worked is because they had great directors and they allowed them to direct.
Yeah.
And the things that was the problem was the scripts. So you can imagine how the sequels would be. It's like, okay, I get to do my own movie, my own script and story this time, and I don't have to be tied down by all the stuff that Zack Snyder do. Because it's kind of like, you know, you don't have to, you wouldn't have to have seen Batman versus Superman Justice League to enjoy Wonder Woman or Aquaman. Like, it would have helped, but it wasn't necessary.
Yeah, you know, I think Wonder Woman, you just need to know, like, what's with the picture, but I guess it was important because that's how the story started, but I guess having, you know, signed Bruce, if you're seeing Wonder Woman, you should know who Bruce is anyways. So there you go. And then I'm pulling up like the James Wan stuff because we talked about before that he's got $2 billion movies, or almost two now, with two different franchises. And
yeah, James Cameron, the only other person who's done that.
Which is crazy. Yeah, because I guess Indiana Jones never made $1 billion or any of that stuff.
Yeah, because like it's different. Like inflation also kind of helps with that because that kind of skews the numbers where you weren't really hitting $1 billion until like the 90s with some stuff, but really like the 2000s and 2010s. And it's not like there's been a lot of movies that's hit $1 billion. Like,
yeah,
you tend to think like it's maybe what 15, 20 total.
And those are a lot of recent too.
Yeah. A lot of those are recent. It's kind of like, but it's funny. It was a lot that's been recent, but it's been a lot more that happened like in the 2000s. Like you think about like the Transformers and Pirates of the Caribbean and like Batman movies, like Marvel movies. Most Marvel movies don't hit $1 billion. It's only they probably had what, 4, 5, three. All the Avenger movies, Black Panther, Iron Man 3, and Civil War. That's it.
It's so crazy to me. Iron Man 3 made that much, but
because it came out after the Avengers.
Yeah, that's
true. People liked Iron Man, so that's. It's Tom definitely helps, but though I was talking to my friend Richard about James Wan. It's like he started three horror franchises that all made a whole lot of money, then got to do the Fast and Furious movie that made the most money out of any of them and the one that made people cry, and then he did Aquaman that's going to be the most out of any DC Universe movie.
Yeah,
like he has the career people assume Zack Snyder was going to have.
Yeah. And I'm looking at his... He hasn't made too many movies. 1, 2, 3, 4... He's made 9 movies. According to this. I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, so anyone can correct me if
that's wrong. That sounds about right.
And, well, he's a producer... Drow, he has 13 director credits. Oh, MacGyver TV series, the new one. Doggy Heaven, which was a short, and a Saw short. Okay. So anyways... As a director, his first movie was Saw, a monster movie, which no one saw coming. It was just supposed to be some small thing with Cary Elwes and Danny Glover.
Danny Glover.
Follows that 3 years later, which that was the surprise. Dead Silence, you know, the puppet movie? Only made $16 million. All right. Next one was Death Sentence, the Kevin Bacon one. I didn't really like this one, actually, so it was so dirty and bleak the whole way through, but apparently everyone else agreed because it only made $9.5 million. Then he comes back with Insidious, three-fourths of a great movie, $54 million.
Is that just domestic?
No, this is Lifetime gross.
I feel like Insidious made more money.
You know
than
what?
That.
This has to be domestic because it's got Aquaman at 268.
Yeah.
God damn it! Why'd they do that? Hang on a second. Oh, here we go. Well, that's adjusted. Anyways, all right, so we're going domestically. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so it made worldwide, yeah, it budget was 1.5, and it made worldwide $97 million. That's a whole lot of profit.
You talking about Insidious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Conjuring is 2 years later, $137 million. He went from making $54 million 2 years later to making $137.
Yeah.
Or making that for the studio. We'll put it in that term.
So, like, it's kind of like, yeah, imagine having, like, you have Saw that starts the whole horror porn thing because Saw went to Hostel and all that stuff. Then you do Insidious. Like, oh, I can give me $2 million. I can make you $150. Then you do The Conjuring and does the exact same thing. And both of those movies have, like, spin-offs. Like, they have
Annabelle, universe. The Nun.
How many horror movies have their own universes? And he has two that have, like, you know, spin-offs and sequels and prequels. And it's like, yeah, give me a $6 million budget. I'm going to make you $120 to $170 million. Like, that's... And then imagine, like, okay, you know what? I saw Death Sentence. I don't know if it's okay. You want to do Furious 7?
Well, no, Death Sentence was in 2007. Furious 7 was 8 years later. Oh,
I'm just saying, imagine thinking about that. Like, the guy that did The Conjuring is like, okay, what do you know about cars?
Yeah. Well, but even from that, I mean, but yeah, think about that. He made Death Sentence, Insidious, a goofy ghost movie or whatever that was. The Conjuring, another goofy ghost movie. Insidious Chapter 2, a sequel to his goofy ghost movie. And all of a sudden, hey... You want to do this movie and, you know, oh, which one? Fast and the Furious? Was it going to have some goofy ghost stuff in this? I'm confused. Nah, just go ahead and make it.
Well, kind of likely because you saw what happened with Paul Walker. Like,
I was trying to avoid that. So.
Yeah, but it's like, what was the thought process? Justin Lin's Asian. You're Asian. Maybe it'll work. Like, I don't get... And it worked. I don't get the idea. Because I remember we talked about when the movie came. I was like, who would have thought to ask him to do that?
Yeah.
Like, and the real funny thing is, we talk about all the time how directors, they'll make some little artsy movie that no one saw. And the next thing you know, they're making Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. Like, they jump from doing nothing to something. And, like, other directors kind of had to prove himself. He had to prove himself. Like, he had to put the reps in. And... It kind of speaks a lot where, remember when he went to DC, they were like, you get to pick whatever movie you want. And he picked Aquaman. It wasn't like they sloughed it off on him because, like, he could have done what he wanted to do. And he picked that. And the one thing we said about is, like, script aside, he directed the hell out of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, yeah, you give people chances that's actually talented, and that's what you get. And it's funny. It's coming from people that never got chances.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Hollywood's a weird thing anyways, but you would have thought, like, his name alone. Like, DC has horror properties, too. Well, I mean, I guess they gave him a choice, but... I mean, they got Swamp Thing, all that, which is on the coming up on the app now, but you've got all that different stuff, and he chose Aquaman, and it's like, you trying to sink your career? I mean, because, listen, this is straight out of Entourage. I mean, Vincent Chase, that was his name, right? Yeah.
Hmm.
Playing Aquaman, and it's a gigantic hit, and it was supposed to be a joke on, like, they used Aquaman on purpose.
Yeah. Because
it was like, this would never happen in reality. Fast forward, it's the biggest movie for, what, 3 weeks in a row now?
Mm-hmm.
At least? And that's just...
And it's going to be the biggest movie till Glass comes out.
That's next week, right?
Yeah, because it'll probably be the biggest movie this weekend, too. Unless that Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston movie is number one, which I never bet against Kevin Hart. But I never bet against Kevin Hart because, funny or unfunny, his movies make money. It's the reason why he keep getting jobs. So, but we'll see. Oscars,
which I was so happy he told them no. They're like, no, we'll take you back. Nah, that's all right. As they should. Mm-hmm. Fuck yourselves.
Boy, you hate award shows.
Did you see the Golden Globes?
No, I never watched those shows.
We bought a new stand for our, like, entertainment center and all that, so I was putting it together, and it was right after, I was hoping the football game would go into overtime, just so it would screw up the beginning of the Golden Globes. I was going to be so happy about that, because you just know, like, Because it was even brought up on one of them. Meryl Streep purposely, like, mentioning UFC as being, like, substandard entertainment or something. A fucking stuffy bitch. And I was just hoping that was going to happen. Just to see, like, the Hollywood Foreign Press just go nuts about it. It didn't. But the opening monologue... And I'm watching this, and I was like, all right, enough of this crap. Because it was just on. And I don't even know what we turned on. Oh, I finally finished the Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise. There's actually a loose remake called Silent Night with is it Malcolm McDowell, the one that's alive still?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's the police chief. I've never seen all right, we're talking about James Wan, you know, going from, like, really nowhere and building it up, and he has three horror franchises, all this stuff. And then there's Silent Night, Deadly Night, and I know this was back in the 80s. That movie has, that franchise has six movies. Or is it five? Five or six. None of them are good. Four of them are straight trash.
They're probably all cheap, too.
Oh, my God. Like, Christmas Day, we watched... Silent Deadly Night 3 and 4. No, 4 and 5. And then we watched 3 Sunday, and then we watched Silent Night, which was like the remake in 2011 or something like that. I couldn't believe people invested money in this one. This is going to make money. No, it's not.
So I'm actually reading the story about the first one. They said they had to pull it out a week after theaters because of controversy and negative reviews because people didn't want to see a killer Santa Claus.
Yep.
But it was still a moderate success and developed a cult following, mm-hmm. which followed four sequels and a loose remake. Uh-huh. Yeah, people still make I Spit on Your Grave movies.
Have you watched those, by the way?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so have I.
Blame my, better half for that.
Really? That surprises me.
That was her choice. Let me tell you something. You'd be surprised at the taste of movies of... Yeah. Don't judge a book by its cover. It's like, it's some stuff that I'm like, why are you watching this? It's like, oh, I like that type of stuff. And it's like, yeah, so that's why we're watching I Spit on Your Grave.
Wow.
And then you watch the remake.
I remember when Elise and I first started dating, we watched the original. And that original is a rough-ass movie. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh. And then I was like, yeah, have you never seen this? They did a remake of it. And so we're watching that, and I'm like, this isn't very good. As if the first one was, masterpiece theater, but...
Yeah.
And then there's four of them? You let stuff fly in the
70s.
Yeah, just the fact... Yeah, they rape her and all this stuff, and then she goes and seduces them. I'm like, this is batshit crazy. So, but anyways, yeah, so I will stand up that Silent Night, Deadly Night is the worst... horror franchise ever, and I've seen every Sleepaway Camp.
What's the one with the wizard?
The wizard?
The one the evil genie, you make a wish, and like you get it literally. Talking about, I want $1 million, and then a bunch of bucks like trample you or something like that. I think they made like two, like at least two or three of them.
Oh, I don't know what that is. I'd watch that one.
Cam knows because he got me to watch, and I was watching it, and I'm trying to think.
Genie.
Wish, I think it's called Wishmaster.
Oh, those? I have not seen those. Okay. I need to watch. Yeah, it's funny. I put Evil Genie movie in and Wishmaster comes up. Uh-huh. I haven't seen those in forever. All right. I'm going to have to see if those are on Prime.
And I think it's like at least four of those.
Let's see. Wishmaster 2, Evil Never Dies. Of course not.
Beyond the Gates of Hell and a Prophecy for four of them.
I think there are like seven Hellraiser movies as well.
Yeah.
And the last one doesn't even have the guy in it until the very end. Pinhead.
Yeah, it's like, it's some of my horror movies. Like, they find one that's semi-decent, they will run it to the ground. They're still still making Child's Play movies.
Did you see I forgot to ask you, did you see Cult of Chucky?
Is that the last one that came out?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's not good.
The last one I saw was the one when all three of them were dolls.
Seed of Chucky.
And Jennifer Tilly was in there, and like Red Man was in there. Yep. Yeah.
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 I've seen all those too, and I'm still going to stand firm that Silent Deadly Night's the worst of them.
I'm sure we're probably, like, I will trust your judgment because you've seen plenty of bad movie franchises, so yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I got off on that, but yeah, now I have to go back and watch Wishmaster. So, okay,
so you watched some good stuff beyond that. You said you just finished watching Titans, so I'm glad you caught up with me.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that was the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, Robin's possessed by Trigon. I went, okay, what's next? And that was it. I went, that's it? Like, okay. It was, I don't know, it was kind of anticlimactic because that final episode was so batshit crazy
that you expect something else to happen. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense because it's kind of like, it's just so different from the other one. Like, okay, even though it's a violent, let's talk about that show because I finished it and you watched it. And I remember when it first came out. And the first thing is, like, you see, you know, Nightwing doing this, and it's like, fuck Batman. It's like, what in the world is DC? Like, the initial reaction was almost universally negative. Like, people thought, like, you taking this, because you think of Titans, you think of Teen Titans.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, or Teen Titan Go. So imagine you think about that, it's like, you know, it's fun, spunky level, even though, like, original Teen Titans, Slade was still trying to murder him. You know, and like Ron Perlman is not a cuddly teddy bear, no matter how much you want to think. Like, him doing a voice, you still think certain things when he's playing a villain. But it's like, you know, it's still kind of like, you know, animated, more younger, swinging, you know, cartoon. And the Titans always been like, you know, they're called Titans, Teen Titans. It's like, you know, younger slander, even though it's been more mature. But all of a sudden it's like, oh, DC doing this whole murder thing and all that. And it was just so much noise around it. I'm more of a DC agnostic because I didn't grow up watching DC, so that thing bothered me less than it bothered other people. So I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a chance. And I'm just watching it, and I'm like, yeah, this is real violent, but it's not bad. Like, that's my first thing. Like, you know, like, I'm like, it's definitely different, but I'm like, taking on its own, it's all right. So I'll get another time. And then, like, the more I watch, the more it's kind of like, you know, I actually enjoy this. I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I don't care if I'm supposed to or not. Like, you know, like, it definitely has flaws, but I'm like, I never felt like I wasted my time watching it. Like, I looked forward to watching it when it came out.
Yeah, I watched the entire season, I think, day and a half. And I'm like, all right. And it was very up and down for me. One, the show just itself was very up and down. And then for me, this is one of the ones that I had, for some of the reasons you described, I had a hard time with it. Like, because I'm sitting there going, this isn't how these characters are supposed to act. And because, like, Starfire's not a murderer. Now, she was a weapon, yes, but then, you know, when she becomes it, then she still wasn't a weapon. But at least, you know, there was something there. So when she's just flat out killing people, I was like, this is weird. And I'm like, this isn't really the Starfire character. Raven, I thought, was okay. Or Rachel, whatever. She was fine. Beast Boy was always the plucky guy. And it just seems like everyone, like, who wants to live in this world, first off? Everything sucks. The coolest part was the Doom Patrol. And even then, they were, they're the Doom Patrol. They're supposed to be, like, have some sadness there.
That's a damn understatement.
But goddamn, everyone sucks. Wonder Girl seemed like she was having a decent time, and then Dick shows up and screws up everything again. The Hawk and Dove stuff was pretty much spot on. Like, it's Hawk and Dove, but they took the character traits and then just made a different story with it. So,
you know, that was some of the funniest part. Like, that was one of my funniest parts of the episode, because it's kind of like, you know, you see them doing it, like the outfits look ridiculous, but I think that's the point of it. And then that's the first time I see it. Then Dick Grayson shows up, and she's just eye fucking the hell out of him.
And then
and then he's feeling a certain way, like, oh, I know you probably wanted him anyway. You just settled me. I saw how you was looking at him. And it's kind of like, well, yeah. Like, you know, like, it, when it plays that, the whole stereotype, like, you know, Dick Grayson was like the Rick Rude of DC Universe. Yeah. Like, every woman damn near wanted him. And it's kind of like, oh, you know, he hung with Batman. He probably, like, you know, he's actually trained, not like you, and all this other stuff. And that whole, like, it talked about, like, a lot of adult stuff. Like, the whole, you know, I need one more job so I get, like, health insurance so I can stop getting concussions. I'm having, like, I never thought it'd be a thing, like, I'm having bedroom issues. Like, we talk about Marvel being sexless. DC certainly kind of leaned, DC kind of leaned into that. So, no, like, I had the same thing. Like, it was, like, up and down stuff, seeing Jason Todd just be, like, whatever he was being, because it wasn't, it was like he was surly but not really.
See, in the comics, the original Jason Todd was a whiner, which is why they had that whole death in the family thing, because they created a character everyone hated. So instead of, you know, it had nothing to do with that he took Dick Grayson's place. It had everything to do with the fact the way he was written sucked. So they make this character a whiner and then are surprised when people want him dead. So, but yeah, but this him just being a dick, like, okay.
I'm sorry you couldn't cut being Robin. I get to hang with Batman. That's dope as hell. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess, but can we talk about Batman? Because not only in the show, and it's funny, I feel like a lot of people didn't like this show because it portrayed Batman how Batman would really be. And people don't like seeing Batman looked at that way. And I was laughing at that, like, you know, Batman is like this lunatic with child soldiers. Like, yeah, that is a problem. Especially after I start watching Young Justice and seeing that's basically
the whole point. I have not watched any of that yet, the new season.
No, not the new episode. Okay. I started watching from the beginning. And like, this whole thing is like, oh, they're Batman's secret strike force. Yep. Like, can we talk about, like, yeah, I'll leave Batman alone because that's neither here nor there. But I'm like, yeah, that kind of feeds in the whole thing. But no, like, you know, the highs were good, the lows were definitely, like, it was definitely some lows there. Like, some stuff was chunky and everything like that. That last episode was just out of, you know, oh, Batman finally lost his mind, because it's like, what happened? Alfred died. Jason got paralyzed because the Riddler shot him. Then the Joker killed Commissioner Gordon. So Batman tries to kill the Joker. Almost, you know, Joker survives. So he goes back to the hospital to kill him again.
And kills everybody else in the way.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, this whole, like, you know, Batman would never do nothing like that. And one is kind of like, a lot of people argue that Batman should have killed the Joker a long time ago, but it's like, you know, then he's the Punisher. He can't be a hero. He's just a criminal. But I'm like, it's different. Like, if you read Batman comics and watch Batman animated series, you have one idea of Batman. If all you know Batman is watching the movies, it's like, oh, well, Batman kills at least one or two people per movie. So what's the big deal?
Up until the Nolan movies. And then Christopher Nolan movies are the ones where
Raiz al Ghul about that whole "I don't kill nobody."
Yeah, well, no, he didn't kill him. He didn't have to save him.
He just let him die.
And I'm like, that's killing him. I said, okay.
Yeah. So, no, it's kind of like I enjoyed the series. Mm-hmm. It was funny hearing you talk about, like, oh, who's this girl with the blonde hair, Minka Kelly?
Minka Kelly. I was like, all right, look, she was beautiful anyways in the show. If we're getting back to the sex part of this whole series. That whole thing where her and Hank finally go at it, and I just went, okay, who is this goddess? And I finally had to look her up. She has brown hair. I was like, wait a second. That's cheating. But then, of course, the girl that plays Khaleesi does.
She put a Daenerys on you.
Yeah, so I was like, whatever. But yeah, I was shocked. But yeah, that first scene, though, with the two of them and I know this is like the joke, and I like how we acknowledge it too, but when Robin shows up, or Dick Grayson shows up, and it's just all eyes are all over, I was like, damn, your man's right there. Like, that's rude. Mm-hmm. But, no, I like the fact they played into, like, Dick being a kind of a man whore, because that's what he was for a while. And then now in the comics, I was trying to make him, like, get with Batgirl, or he was with Starfire for a while. Which, boy, they jumped into that awful fast.
Mm-hmm, which sure did. It's the best way to get you to talk.
And also, hey, adults, and she ain't ugly. And I will say, that was the one thing that bothers me about this show. Starfire is not black. So, I don't even have the heart I don't have the heart to go with the joke.
Yeah, but, like, what is she?
She's orange. That's a joke. Like, how, yeah. They had a black person playing an orange person? What kind of world are we coming to?
Yeah, I remember people was complaining about that. It's kind of like,
who cares?
You going to find an orange person?
Yeah, well, so some toner or tanning stuff, I guess. But yeah,
yeah, it's kind of like she. I remember, like, I didn't read the comics, but watching, I'm like, she leaned toward being a, well, the funny joke, obviously a person of color. Like, I'd be more surprised she wouldn't be played by someone else because, like, she's going to have a white person painted, like, dark orange. Like, unless you go put, like, latex on, that's going to look even more weird. But, no, overall, I like the, you know, flaws aside, I like the series. I'm still mad at the fact, like, how they... Yeah, the whole launch, like, they launched it without it being ready for, like, every platform and before the show came out. Like, it's finally on, like, Amazon Fire TV, so I was actually able to watch it on my TV, which makes a difference because it looks a lot better on a TV than it does on a phone or a tablet.
Yeah, well, I have a Kindle Fire, and it doesn't have the app for that yet. And then Xbox doesn't have it. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, like, it was only, like, for mobile stuff. I think the only ones they had before was like Roku, yes, and Apple TVs, like the new Apple TVs. I had the older ones, so it wasn't even available there. It just got, like, it got added to Amazon fairly recently, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, you don't have, why are you rushing this?
Yeah, well, like, what was the hurry if you weren't gonna release Titans for another month? Like, it's okay. Oh.
You get to see Batman animated series in HD.
I got all the DVD sets, man. I don't care.
But it's different. It's coming out in Blu-ray. You get to see it first on the network. Like, okay. Yeah. You can, like, I can wait a month. Like, just wait.
I can only watch Superman 4, The Quest for Peace so many times.
But overall, it's like, you know, it's funny. I've been taking advantage because I actually watch Titans. I'm watching Young Justice now. And part of me is going to jump in, like, watching season 3. But I'm like, I haven't even watched season 1 or season 2 yet. Mm-hmm. So I started watching season 1. I won't talk about that much. It's like, it's definitely enjoyable. I laugh Superboy is basically like 1989 Lex Luger.
Yes.
And NWA, like, he's just a surly asshole that's nice maybe 5 seconds out of every episode. And it's just funny seeing that because I don't have that much experience with Superboy, so I forgot how he's portrayed. Most of the time I think about him is like the whole when he becomes evil.
Yeah. Well, that's Earth Prime Superboy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. But seeing this one, like, he just skulking around, like, get out of my head, get out of my face. You know, you can't show me nothing. Like, you just a girl with a stick. How you going to teach me to fight? I got super strength. Like, what a prick. Yep.
And that was, like, watching that was a departure from the comics. Because when he first is in the comics, he shows up and he's just a little cocky teenager. Like, just fresh out of the vat, basically. So, yeah, I loved Young Justice when it was on, but they dicked that show around so much on Cartoon Network. They would play 4 or 5 new ones, it'd be gone for 4 months. Come back and play 2, gone for 3 weeks. And it was impossible. So finally, it's like, all right, the season's done, good. Now we can go and actually buy the season, go watch it. It was nuts. And then they just canceled it. No fanfare. Just got rid of it.
Yeah, I heard people complain about that too. So, and it's just funny thinking about that, like, especially now where it's kind of like you had these, a lot of these shows that were great but didn't get the respect they deserve. And it's like, why? Like, it's not like it was like some, like, it shouldn't have been some niche thing. It's Warner Brothers. Yeah. It's DC stuff. And, like, who did you have that was like, you know, I know everybody like SpongeBob SquarePants or whatever, or like Disney XD, but it was like, it wasn't like it was a whole bunch of shows that was just kind of like pushing out the paint, like, oh, we can't show Young Justice because we got to do this Thundercats remake that nobody likes. So.
Yeah, no, I thought watching the show, well, one, it's like an overall thing. They're not screwing around with this DC Universe stuff. I know we were talking about Marvel using like the movie characters. And that's obviously a much bigger deal when you have Paul Bettany and what's her name, Elizabeth Olsen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to make sure I got the right Olsen. You know, characters from the movie starring in Scarlet Witch and Vision, you know, and then DC's coming through, and I know, like, it's not a comparison, but like, Luke Wilson is going to be one of the stars of the Stargirl series.
Yeah, I saw that,
and it actually, I think that works kind of well because he's always had an old look to him. like even in old school, you're like, this dopey guy. So him playing, well, Stripes in this, but him playing the character, I'm like, all right, yeah, this works. And then Brendan Fraser's the voice of Robot Man, which I thought was pretty cool. And I, to go to Titans, I loved that Doom Patrol episode. It was so weird. I mean, she goes upstairs and Rita is just a ball of goo. And I'm not sure if they're going to go with her being like Giant Woman or not. Or whatever she becomes. That's not Giant Woman. Yeah. I think she's Giant Woman. Anyways. So that was weird. She's falling apart at dinner. And you got Cliff just sitting there. A Robot Man Cliff just sitting there. Like staring at everybody. Like trying to get him to describe food to him again. I'm like, this is the most bizarre thing in a weird show anyways. And I loved every second of it. And
yeah,
that's
it's
the
one
next
of those,
series? Ugh.
Yeah, it's one of those few shows where it's like, you know, kind of like the X-Men is one of the only people to do that. Like, you know, sometimes powers aren't powers. Sometimes they like disabilities. And that's how they treated that. Like, you know, we ain't heroes. We like monsters with issues trying to overcome and do the best we can do. Because it's like, yeah, it's cool being X-Men if you look like Storm and Cyclops. If you look like a Morlock, ain't nobody trying to, oh, yeah. Look, Mom, it's a guy with four eyes and open wounds. He's a hero. Like,
yeah,
so that was definitely, like, different. It was definitely enjoyable, and it was, like, freaky, too.
Yes. Well, they went a little overboard with Doc, but I guess they got to give it something because they're the next series that's coming out. So that should be pretty cool. And then, what's this, Swamp Thing's after that. They've got, I think, four or five shows next year. Mm-hmm. Or this year. This year. So,
imagine you watch DC, you know, you get DC Universe. It's like, oh, I'm curious about, oh, Superman, Batman. And Titans is the first thing you get, and Doom Patrol is the second thing.
Yeah. And you're like, what are they doing? It's
like,
well,
dude, like, where's Batman? Like,
well, he's like, at the end of the season. Don't worry about it. He makes an appearance.
Yeah, like you better watch the the DCCW universe. They got all the cool heroes.
Okay, and I think that's what was so jarring about Titans is no one really acts heroic in it. I mean, I know, like, they're the good guys for the most part because you've got evil people following them, but it's not like they're not out saving the world or doing any of that stuff. So if you watch Arrow, who's, like, saving his city, or Flash, who's saving Central City and the world, or Legends, saving the time stream, all that, you know, and they're doing stuff that's heroic, you know, using powers, all this stuff. In this show, I mean, Starfire's using her you know, solar energy, whatever, to burn people alive. Raven's trying not to kill the world, and Garth apparently is stuck on a tiger for right now, but that'll change, I hope. And now he bit a guy, and he's like, oh my god, it's not actually me all the time in there. I'm like, well, that's a different twist, but it's like they're doing a weird, kind of an X-Men thing where, you know, these are a burden to him, and, you know, he has green hair. It's like, well, you can still go out in public. So,
and the quote unquote most normal of them has PTSD.
Yeah. I actually like that spin because I don't think that's been done before. To where Dick was like, no, I was a kid, and I'm starting to turn into him, and I didn't want
it to. That's the whole thing about that. It would make sense for him to have that, because, you know, he was a kid that was an orphan, saw his parents, like, brutally die, and is trained by a madman to be a decoy and a weapon. When you grow up, it's like, you know, yeah, maybe being Robin is cool when you're like 12 or 13. When you're like 19 or 20, it's like you start asking certain questions. Like, wait a minute. Like, what's going on? It's like, this the guy that's raised, this what he thinks of me? Like, you know, tomorrow, yeah, Robin wears the bright colors because he's an easier target. The criminals can focus on him. So Batman get to do his stuff with less issue. You, huh?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we would have some, when I grow up, we going to have to talk about that, because that would kind of rub me the wrong way.
And also, when Jason Todd said that, like, that's always been the thing in the comics. They were wearing bright colors in the comics. Everyone in this is wearing some really diluted stuff, so that one kind of rang hollow just on what they were wearing. But, and I also get the feeling, I'll be curious if this happens, if Dick next season becomes Nightwing, because it was pretty clear, like, you know, I have to find my own identity. I have to find my own way and this and this. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then, like, I don't know. There's so much. We could have just done a show just on Titans, I guess. But, like, Jason Todd becoming, like, who he does. And then later on he becomes the Red Hood because he comes back from the dead because Superboy Prime punched the wall. Just go with it. And,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, just really dumb. And so he becomes like, you know, a borderline bad guy for the most part. And now he's like an anti-hero. Okay. So I got that. Like, I thought Jason Todd was a good characterization from what I would have expected. But just up and down. And some of it seemed like, all right, we're getting the order. Let's go. Now, where are we going? Well, we got to get to this point. All right. And that was it. And that was, some of it seemed like they were making it up on their own.
They probably so, would. I mean, to be fair, though, like, Arrow kind of was, like, yes, up and down this first season, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of rough. Like, and if imagine you was watching that, it's like, oh, I remember Green Arrow, Oliver Queen, Goatee, Social Justice Warrior. And instead, it's like, he's Batman. Batman killed people and had more sex.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool, but you wouldn't think that's the Green Arrow. So, I mean, it's just...
Before we get away from the Green Arrow thing real quick, you remember over the summer, Stephen Amell was making a big deal out of growing his beard out and trying to get, like, a classic Green Arrow look?
Uh-huh.
He's already shaved it off. Like...
Maybe they already filmed the episodes.
Oh, maybe it's a future thing. But yeah. I'm like, it can't be the prison episodes, right? But no. I'm wondering... I don't know. So...
But it's just funny thing about Green Arrow cop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... is that next week or 2 weeks?
Whenever it comes back, it's kind of... I mean, I just laugh at this point. Like, between... He's had a funny life anyway, because it's kind of like, you know, he got injured and it affected his film for Arrow because he was wrestling on All In. And then I'm watching some WWE special. The Edge and Christian show. And they're doing kayfabe, and he pops up.
Yes.
And I'm like... Was it him? Did he come before after, like, Ricky Steamboat or Kurt Angle? It was like somebody, some legend came up and then him. And, like, imagine somebody explained this to you. You watching some network show with Edge and Christian making fun of kayfabe, and one of the people they interview and give a lot of time to is the Green Arrow.
Okay, there's that, yes. And for that specific skit, they had Sting on there.
Yes, that's who it was.
How in the hell... Like, I know these were filmed, I think, it's 2019 now, but I think they were filmed in, like, late 2017, early 2018. Because the show was supposed to be out in the summer or something like that, and it kept getting pushed back. Well, I'm thinking, did they know this sketch was coming all the way out then? I mean, that was crazy to me. But, because Sting hasn't been around for how long? So,
like, he pops up on, like, a table for three every now and then, but that's about it. It's just funny thing about that you're going to have Sting and then we're going to have the Green Arrow.
Yeah, yes.
Like, Restless. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that show except for how funny that show is, but no. But it's kind of like, the CW shows will be coming back soon, and it's funny, like, I hadn't thought about, because some stuff already started, like Gotham started back up. Mm-hmm. I know The Gifted has come back.
I'm gonna have to start from the beginning with that. I forgot to start watching the season, and I accidentally deleted all of them. I was like, "Do you want to delete all the episodes?" I was like, "Sure." And I'm like, "Wait, what am I deleting?"
You talking about the Gifted?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna have to.
I hope they keep that show even with the merger.
It's gonna be tough because Marvel, I think, is gonna probably want to do their own stuff.
Yeah, and I know they said they're gonna start about doing it, like, I guess 2020.
Oh, is that okay?
You know, about as far as, like, X-Men, as far as, like, using the X-Men characters, that's, like, been the rumor. Like, you know, not like, yeah, next year, which makes sense because they already got stuff for this year. I mean, because that's a real good show, and it's like, it's, I told you before, it's way better than it has any right to be. Like, for the budget it has and how hard, like, it just proves it's easier to do the X-Men as a TV show than a movie. Because it's different, we have more time. Even though it's technically not the X-Men, it's just like, imagine using, like, X-Men adjacent people and making up people. And, like, you gotta wing it.
See, I don't mind, and that's why I kind of like the concept of the show, because before I was like, oh, is this person this or this person this, and it didn't matter because they created other people who were actually pretty cool. So
yeah, you know, and it's a lot easier to judge than, like, you know, imagine, okay, what this gonna be? You're gonna be Wolverine. Mm-hmm. No yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. I feel like, bad for the poor bastard who is gonna have to take over as Wolverine. I honestly feel bad for that person, because you're screwed.
If I was them, I know part of it's kind of like you want to start your own team. I would just throw Hugh Jackman a whole bunch of money and have him be Wolverine. You can start new with everybody else, because, like, I know it's like, you know, he was Hugh Jackman before Wolverine, but it's like he's did Wolverine better than almost any other comic character did anything else, and he's still around and people notice. And it's not like a whole thing where it's like, you know, Ben Affleck had to deal with Christian Bale being Batman, because people are used to different Batmans. And as long as you wear a mask, who's Batman doesn't matter that much. When you show your face, it matters more. It hasn't been a Wolverine beside Hugh Jackman. And everybody knows, you think of, like, Hugh Jackman, I mean, Wolverine. He's done a whole lot of stuff, but, like, Wolverine still comes up. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be that person. Nope. Just like I would, like, because I saw what happened when people try to be Blade after Wesley Snipes, and, yeah, sorry, Sticky Fingers. Like, I try watching that show, and every time I watch, I'm like, I mean, you cool, but you ain't Wesley Snipes. Nope. It felt like it was like a pretender being Blade. And you don't want to have, like, your first movie, you're going to be a pretender Wolverine? Like, no.
Yeah. And it's like, well, no.
They're gonna get some Australian guy, basically, just like they did with him. Like, oh, can you fake an American Canadian accent, and, like, can you pretend to be 5'3"? And, like, nah, no thanks.
Yeah. Well, anyways, other show. I finally finished Iron Fist. Man. All right. So I watched Iron Fist, and I saw his appearance in Luke Cage as well, and I really enjoyed Luke Cage in Luke Cage and Danny Rand show. That was a fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I saw on this, Iron Fist is still a show that's embarrassed to have Iron Fist be the lead. And it got to the point now where he got rid of his... The logic in the show was what got me at the end. I'm not powerful enough. I'm gonna. What?
And then you killed a dragon.
Yeah, and you're gonna give it to your girlfriend? Like, what are you talking about? And I know they're trying to, like, work it into where she's, like, the pirate princess's granddaughter or something. So I was like, all right, but at the time, it made no sense. And I don't know. The one thing I did like that always made me laugh was whenever Misty was around and Ward was around at the same time. She was always like, girl, And finally, Colleen's like, really? Like, that's what does it for you? And I'm thinking the same thing. Like,
I mean, he got this weirdo. Think about this. I mean, he's a handsome dude. He got that weird, damaged charisma. He's rich. That was the least thing. I could see them being more of a couple than I ever see, like, Danny. Like, what does Colleen see in this job?
All right, so that's the thing. When he's beating some serious ass in the beginning, like, you could tell they worked on fight scenes. They trained him up, finally, because you could still tell in Luke Cage that was not the case. But this one was like, all right, finally, we're getting somewhere. All right. And then it just gets into this episode after episode pity party. And it was like, what? And then out of the blue, they take his power away? I'm like, what's going on here? And then, and this is... It only matters now because they canceled the show. The end was so cool.
Yeah, I got mad.
And I'm like, wait a minute. He's got the power of the old Iron Fist now, and she's, like, transferring through her swords. I'm going, next season could be sweet.
Yeah, and then no season. Yeah, like, that's a horrible cliffhanger.
Yes.
Like, she's there doing that, him and Ward just going over the world, like an Indiana Jones type thing. And now, like, you wait till it finally gets decent, and now you cancel? Like, that's what it bothered me. I was like, really?
Yeah.
And, like, you finally got me to care about this stupid show, and then you get rid of it. Because you like, oh, well, you know, Marvel doing their own thing. So, and I read something like even if they want to put on their network, they got to wait like 2 to 3 years.
That doesn't make any sense to me. But
they were not forward thinking. I guess they didn't think that far ahead because they didn't think it'd be an issue.
Yeah, I don't know. And Punisher comes out next week.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't know. I really enjoyed parts of it, and then other parts, I'm like, this is boring. Let's get a move on.
Yeah, Davos, I'm going to be the true hero of this. That whole, I'm going to be evil John Kreese.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
What are you doing? You got these young punks. Oh, we're going to sweep up the streets. And if you don't pick the soda can off the streets, we're going to murder you.
Yes.
What? Like, this is just so heavy-handed and just like, half the time, like, he about to have an aneurysm because, like, I'm trying to be a good guy. I'm trying to be a hero. Like, no.
Yeah.
And Joy there kneeling him, like, you know, why don't you be a real man like Danny? I thought you was better than this. And, yeah. I did like how they did, what's her name? Typhoid Mary.
Okay. She didn't need to be in the series at all.
No, she didn't. But I liked her being in it. But she was like, you could have took her out and changed the story that much, women that much. Just kind of like, why is she in this? But then it's like, she was always like, whenever she was on there, I couldn't keep my eyes off because half the time it's like, oh, I just draw pictures and oh, you're cute. And the other time it's like, if you move a finger, I'm going to chop your damn head off.
Yeah.
And it's funny how muted she was because Alice Eve is gorgeous and she didn't look nothing like that. Like you see on the show, it's like, who's this ruffian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, so.
I don't know. It didn't seem. It just didn't seem like they. And again, it was like, right, we need to get to a certain spot and we need to drag it out for this many episodes. Because there were some of the. And the whole capture him and taking his power thing came out of the blue. I'm like, that was never explained how that could happen. So the tattoo has something to do with it? Like.
A magic tattoo from the Crane sisters and the Ash of the Dragon from Kulung and all this. I'm like,
these three chicks at a tattoo parlor are like, can take the only, power away? Like,
the only thing you are transferring is hepatitis A, HIV, and like maybe HIV. You just can transfer the power to Iron Fist through a magic tattoo and like some old Iron Fist skin. Like, that's all it takes. Danny had to kill a dragon. You just like, it don't seem like it's cheating. Yeah, I was watching that too. I'm like, okay, I guess you got to get from point A to point C somehow, but point B seemed dumb.
Yeah, and then he just gives it to Colleen. Like, here you go. Like,
I never really wanted it.
She needs to train. And then, not even, was it the same episode? No, the next episode? Yeah, okay, I'm good. I'll take it. Like, what?
First, she's like, nah, I don't know about this. I saw how it turned to you. Next episode, oh, it might be cool. I'll take it. It's like, you proved Davos' point. His whole thing was, you didn't want the power. You didn't deserve it. You shouldn't have it. And it's like, no, yes, I do. You just jealous. And it's like, well, you might be right. I don't really need it. But you shouldn't have it either.
Yeah. It was just the end that. And the thing, though, is if you don't know the comics, you're like, what is this dumb shit? So, I was waiting for him to, like, finally become a hero at the end, which is something that the Marvel shows on Netflix, that doesn't happen. And
they're still ashamed.
Yes. It's like, quit moping around already. Go do something heroic, damn it. But
that's the difference between the Marvel shows and the movies and the Marvel shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not embarrassed at all about what it is. Like, you can't be and do Ghost Rider. Like, they do hero stuff all the time. It's like, they miss not necessarily have powers, but they don't, like, shy away from, like, goofy stuff. And the Netflix shows all got to be grounded and mopey. And every time it's something related to comics, like, oh, I'll take this stupid stuff off me. I'm not even wearing this dumbass costume and everything. Like, nah, I got to be realistic. Like, it's something realistic about Luke Cage and Bushmaster. I die every three episodes and I drink some reggae juice and come back to life because we fighting over like copyright names for a laundromat.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way, but yeah.
Yeah, like, it's funny, like, you know, we didn't talk about Luke Cage. Like, I had finished a long time before you did. So, like, it was a lot of stuff I wanted to sit on, and I didn't get to talk about it. And it was like, that was a show with great acting and a bad story.
Okay. The story makes no sense after a while. Well, no, I'm sorry, it makes perfect sense. But it's always like, all right, we got him, I beat him up, he got away. I beat him up, he got away. I beat him up, he got away. I'm like, would you just tie his legs together? Just do something.
Oh, he got the magic Tylenol. He got the way again.
He said he jumps on a bomb, and all of a sudden, all the like nightshade. And I'm like, what? And it. And this is where, if you have knowledge of Marvel Comics history, this it would have been obvious from the beginning what happens at the end. Because Tilda Johnson is Nightshade in Marvel Comics. I looked it up after I finished the season.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't know, you have no clue. Yeah. But imagine watching that and it start with him doing that stupid dab in episode one, and then him being like a crime boss by the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I'm watching, I'm like, oh, this was unexpected. Like, I wasn't expecting this, because he did, like, you know, well, if you got to fight fire with fire, clean up the streets, baby, you got to get your hands dirty. And then everybody looking at him like, huh? Like, imagine Batman saying, like, maybe the Joker had a point.
Okay, so a couple takeaways from this season. I know you watched a while back, right? But, one, they were dropping N-bombs like crazy at the end of the series, at the end of the season. I mean, Luke Cage called her a bitch, and she comes right back with it. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. And you know, I always state this. I'm not a prude, but it's just not language you're expecting.
Yeah, especially from a comic show.
Well, especially from a Marvel show.
But it's kind of like, you know, like, it's funny where that show is authentic, but when it get authentic, like, oh, you still get surprised because that still had weight. And, like, Alfred Woodard was amazing.
Yes, that was some crazy, like, when she was talking to Tilda and she goes, you know, I'm supposed to love you, but I don't. And I don't care if I ever see your face. I was like, oh, this is what? It just not, you're expecting them to, you know,
get out,
unify, reconcile something. And just that.
It was a mistake, baby.
Oh, wasn't even a mistake. That, I mean, that was brutal. There was nothing uplifting about the scene. Pops dies. I mean, everything sucks.
And then Bushmaster's like, and it's funny where it's like, he's the villain, but he's justified.
Yes. But
I kept saying, like, why necessarily am I rooting against him? Because it's like, he has a point. He's trying to keep stuff, like, on the level. He got screwed. And the biggest thing this season, they made Luke Cage corny.
Yes.
I don't know what it, I don't know if it was the actor, the story, or what it was. He was not that, and part of it maybe because I watched Black Lightning in between season one and season two, and that might be, but I was like, no, I remember season one. He might have been like earnest. He was not corny like he is now, like, oh, they got him running the combine. I'm like, okay, if he running a 40-yard dash in like 3 seconds, or however fast they got him doing, or he got like a 60-inch vertical leap, how's he losing these fights?
Yeah.
Like, if he's that damn strong and that damn fast and can jump, and his skin is more bulletproof than it was before, because it's like, yeah, he got the bath, so the bullets that could kill him before are just bouncing off this time. As soon as he runs the Bushmaster, he gets his ass beat. Yeah. Easy.
Well, the first time I understand, because he wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and that was part of the point, was that he was cocky. The second time, he's beating his ass, and he hits him with the magic dust or whatever, and he falls in the water, and I was like, all right, he's going to drown. So does he not need air now? Because the guy put the bag over his head at the end, which is another thing that ties into this. The violence in this was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I know we were talking about the Punisher violence, but that makes sense.
Why is Luke Cage this violent?
Yeah, well,
they just punching people. Yeah, like,
he broke the guy's hands, and, well, him, but then... oh my God, not Maria Hill, Stokes. Mariah Stokes, which, okay, I get it, her last name's Stokes.
Not Dillard.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm a true Stokes from the Stokes plantation, Stokes sugar, and you damn dealers stole it, and yada yada yada. Like y'all fighting over sugar farms in Jamaica in the 60s. Yeah, like, yeah. What is this? The sequel to Roots? Like, come on. Like, I get what they were trying to do, but too much. It was just like, come on. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a small subset that's going to care about this, and everybody else is just rolling their eyes, and I'm. And yeah, like, you know, and Shay's going from he used to be Mr. Cool Breeze to like, I'm losing my mind because I love you so much, Mariah, and you can't respect me because you think I'm a baby. Then he snitches to save himself, and then the deal's off. He gets screwed. Like, yeah, it's like, I thought I had immunity because as soon as he got immunity, he talking all that trash. Like,
okay,
yeah.
You didn't see the Shield, did you?
Yes.
That's exactly the end of the Shield.
I know. And there was I saw that.
There was a lot of odes to other shows and movies in that last episode. Because the whole thing with Misty looking at Luke as is it Sugar? No, was that his name? Who was the one, the driver guy that's now like seeming like his right-hand man?
Oh, Shane?
No, I'm talking about in Luke Cage.
Oh,
was it Sugar? Sweet?
I can't remember.
Well, him. He walks in, Luke Cage is sitting there, and he goes up and starts talking to him, and Misty's getting pushed out the door, just like Diane Keaton did at the end of The Godfather, and the door slowly closes. I was like, well, that wasn't subtle. And then you got all these other odes and stuff, and I'm like, okay, so this is where they're going with this. But then you got the whole Shades thing where he's just spilling his guts like Vic Mackey in The Shield, and I don't know what it was about it, but I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, how much money were they making selling t-shirts to where that kid could buy the barbershop?
This must be money them damn quote-unquote t-shirts.
Yeah, like, wait, what? But yeah, but the violence in this, to get back to that, when she went in and they murdered the entire cafe or Jamaican restaurant, I was like, what the hell just happened? And then they burn the guy alive, and I mean, I know it was CGI, but they're showing it, and I'm thinking, this is insane. Because, I mean, we had violence with the Punisher, but again, you expect that. You're not expecting that from Luke Cage.
Nope.
Like, where's the guy with the tiara and the open shirt? Like, that was crazy. Just crazy. I did like how they did have the Power Man shirt and or sweatshirt that the kid was trying to sell. I enjoyed that quite a bit, actually. But I don't know. It almost seemed like that was the perfect last episode for that show. Because Bushmaster just gets on a plane and leaves? What?
But it's just curious. It's kind of like, you know, if this, I mean, I don't know if they'll ever have episodes again. Imagine, like, if you, like, Danny Rand, Jessica Jones, like, oh, what Luke been up to? Oh, he a crime boss now. What? Like, I'm sure that someone have some questions. Like, so it's kind of like, you know, they had a lot of open-ended stuff. Like, you wonder how things would go or how things would see. It's like, you know, it's funny Daredevil ends on, like, a good note, which is hilarious considering that show. You wouldn't think of any of the shows that won't be the one to end on a good note. Luke Cage and Iron Fist is real open-ended. And I was like, it'd been better off if it is combined the two shows.
Yeah, and that's what it really should have been. And I guess they were just giving you a little taste of it.
Don't do that, and then you take and don't take it away. But yeah. I guess we'll see, because like, people have jobs, they got to keep on moving on. They can't necessarily wait 2 to 3 years and get back. It's easiest, you know, as certain shows have shown, it's kind of hard to get the band back together after you've been away for a while.
Yeah, and especially with how big that cast is, especially for Luke Cage. I mean, honestly, Iron Fist, you could excise half of those people, and it would matter. Who cares about Joy? I don't care about anything that she does.
Nobody cared about the Meachins was such a big part of the series, and a lot of like, it's funny, either people loved that storyline or people hated it. It was not like an in between. It's kind of like, why are they wasting all this time with, like, well, because Iron Fist can't fight. So we gotta talk about something.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I was just shaking my head like that's just sad. Okay, to wrap up the show, and this is off the cuff, we'll get to the other stuff we're going to later, once you finish Narcos, but in the background, I have RoboCop 3 on.
Oh, God, yeah, that's on rotation now,
okay. Okay. Do you realize the people that are in this movie?
Yeah. CCH Pounder, Riptorn, Mako, yeah.
I mean, no, and Bradley Whitford? He was the dad in Get Out. I can't remember this guy's name. He was on The Office. Not The Office. News Radio. He was the boss. He was Milton in Office Space. He's been in a bazillion things now. He's in this.
Jill Hennessy's in this. I didn't even recognize that was her for all those years.
Who?
The girl, the lady from Crossing Jordan.
Oh my, that's who that is. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I've seen, like, she looks familiar. I'm like, that's not what's her, because I'm like, she looks like Jill Hennessy, but I never thought that it was her. And I just realized it was looking up on Wikipedia.
And then you watch this movie and go, this is god awful.
Yes, it was.
I saw this in theaters.
Oh, I feel sorry for you. Oh. Imagine, like, you know, it's like, because RoboCop 2 was bad, yeah. But it's like the damn Godfather compared to this one. Like, it's just so
cheap.
Yeah, it's sure. Cheap. That's what it was. It's cheap and just flimsy and just like, and it's like, you know, Peter Weller's not there being RoboCop. It's like, yeah, oh, anybody can be RoboCop. No, they can't.
Well, what's funny is I just noticed that the people who do the news breaks, they're the same people. Like, we were just talking about, you can't get the band back together. Well, apparently they had nothing to do. So, because they're in this one again. But yeah, I remember seeing this in the theater going, holy God. I think I worked at the movies when this came out. I'm not sure what year this was. So I believe I saw it for free, but it was only showing in one theater back in Ohio. So we actually had to call over and be like, hey, are you guys actually going to play it tonight? Because back then, if a movie wasn't doing good, it didn't get played. So if this was playing at 11 o'clock, yeah, 93, yeah, either I worked at or
okay.
I got
it. What's a weirdest series, RoboCop or Predator?
I don't know, because Predator has two good movies out of it. I haven't seen a new one yet. And now some guy just jumps out the window for no reason. Okay. And,
stock was going down.
Oh, that's so. Right, yeah. But Predator's got so many of them, and they're all over the place. But RoboCop had this, and it had its own TV show.
Mm-hmm. And a cartoon.
Oh, I forgot about the cartoon, yeah. I don't know. And a
remake.
Oh, my God. This is crazy, the people in this movie. But I don't know. I'd actually say Predator, just because of all the different hands that it's been in, all the different variations of it. Where RoboCop had the three, and they sucked. And then you had the bloodless TV show, so...
Yeah, and then the movie that tried to be PG-13 that I remember you hated. I remember we did the show.
Oh, my God,
that.
I forgot about that.
I remember we did the show, and you was like, this is bloodless garbage.
Just shit. Lifeless. Because it should have been so much better. Mm-hmm. Well, you know the guy that directed that directed, like, Elite Squad and Elite Squad 2?
Yeah.
And he's on executive guy on Narcos? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so his
because they wouldn't let him do rated R.
Yeah. And that's why they hired him to do RoboCop, and then they changed it and said, no, it's got to be PG-13. Peace out. I mean, yeah. Anyways, go see RoboCop 3, gang. There's a...
No, don't see that. If you want to see a bad RoboCop movie, see RoboCop 2.
Yeah,
you get to see a kid. You get to see a kid curse. So. Well,
yeah, that's true. And then also, I mean, you get the bad guy dies, but they keep his brain stem and eyes. I just like they kept the eyes. So... Mm-hmm. All right, gang. We will be back next week. And so thanks for listening. We Watch Stuff is the name of our show. Find us under the Stunt Granny banner on Twitter, Facebook, all your podcast platforms, too, which is the important part. So have a good week, gang. We'll get at you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohadi, and you won't find me on Twitter. We are out.